I am going to begin my message this morning with a story that is kind of hard to believe. In fact, if I hadn't witnessed it myself, I'm not sure I would believe it. The story I'm going to tell, it actually happened, it's been a number of years ago now when my sons were both still at home, and they were late teens, maybe early 20s at this point, I can't remember. But it was a summer afternoon, and they'd been playing cards with some of their friends out around a table in my garage all afternoon. And they were playing a game called Texas Hold'em. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that. It's a form of poker where everybody gets two cards face down that go in their hand, and then a series of five cards are laid face up. And whoever has the best combination of the two cards in their hands and the five cards on the table win the game. And I'm not a big card player, never have been, any kind of cards. Definitely not a betting man. I can think of a lot of things I'd rather do. But I was really interested in what was going on out there, because they'd been playing all day, and it was a kind of a game of elimination. And they'd gotten it down from like seven or eight boys to two. And the last two was my oldest son, Ryan, and one of my younger son, Joel's, good friends. And so it was just them. And it was winner take all. And so the last hand was dealt, and all the chips got moved to the center of the table. Whoever won that hand won everything. So all eyes were on these two guys. And they put the cards out on the table. Each of them got their two. They put the five out, and I was watching my son, and I could tell he was pretty confident about the hand that he had been dealt. And finally then, after everything was done, he revealed that he had a pair of fours, which is a pretty good hand. And then at that point, the other kid got kind of a funny look on his face, and he said, "Wait till you see this." And he laid down his two cards, and he had a pair of fours. What are the odds of that? Playing all afternoon, all eyes on them, and that they would get an identical hand and play to a draw. I'm guessing the odds of that are pretty astronomical. But it gets weirder still, okay? And that's the only reason I'm telling you this story. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you a story about poker. Because I said to my oldest son, I said, "Ryan," I said, "4-4. That's your birthday. April 4th. And the other kid said, "You're not going to believe this. That's my birthday too." Is that not the wildest thing? One of the wildest things you've ever heard? I think if I have a story about odds, long odds, that's going to be one of them. And then I had this slide saying, you know, I'm not sure I would believe it. And somebody pointed out, well, I don't know, where does it say it on there? It said that it was Channel 4 News. Can you see it? There it is. I hadn't seen that. I picked this slide, and somebody pointed out Channel 4 News. So another one of those things I wouldn't have believed unless I saw it myself. Well, I'm going to share with you something else that I have witnessed myself that a lot of people have trouble believing. And that is that if you give a tithe to God, if you give 10% of your income to God, that God will not only take care of you and meet your needs, but that he will bless you in ways that you can hardly even imagine. The thing about tithing is that it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense from a kind of an economic or a financial perspective. Even reason might kind of take you in another direction. In fact, if you talk to an accountant that's worth his or her salt, they're going to tell you that, you know, when you give away something without a guarantee or a contract, you know, that's not probably the wisest move. I had a program that I used to use on my computer years ago that was a kind of an accounting program called Managing Your Money. And I always thought it was funny that when I forgot to pay my tithe, or when I missed it for whatever reason, it would congratulate me It would say, good for you, you saved this much money in this area of your budget. And I always kind of felt funny getting congratulated for that. I felt like maybe that wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to go. But again, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a financial perspective to give something away without having some kind of a guarantee. P.T. Barnum was famous for saying that there's a sucker born every minute. And I agree. Most of the time I agree with Mr. Barnum on that. If somebody says that something sounds too good to be true, I'm the first one to say, then it's probably not true. There are a lot of people out there that want to take you, and I know that, and I've experienced that. But I also have experienced the power of giving to God and receiving in return. A long time ago, I decided I was going to take God seriously at His word in terms of putting my life, Him first in my life, and that includes the family checkbook too. And I've seen it work. I don't know how it works, but it does. I know it does. And so I believe that when we trust in God and when we give back to Him, blessings begin to flow in our direction in lots of unexpected ways. It's not something you can really plan for, but it's real. It's real, and I've experienced it, seen it for myself. This week we began annual stewardship campaign for next year, and we mailed out daily devotionals for you to use during the month of September, and we also sent out faith cards for you to make an estimate of giving near the end of that time. Actually, you can bring those cards in anytime you want, but we'd love for you to think about it, pray about it. And the theme for this year is test and see that the Lord is good. And this is, I think, probably one of my personal favorite themes ever that we've had for a stewardship campaign. And it's actually kind of a mashup of two Old Testament texts that are going to be our text for today. The first one is taken from Malachi, the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, where it says, God is speaking to the people of Israel, says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. And the other one is from Psalm 34, verse 8, where it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in Him. And as I read these texts, I see that they have a lot in common. Psalm 34, verse 8, basically the psalmist is saying, give God a try. See how good He is. But you got to try. You got to taste and see. It's not going to happen if you don't try it on. You got to try it on. And Malachi has got the same idea going with his teaching, except he's tying it directly to tithing. And he's saying, go ahead, bring the full tithe into the storehouse and see if I don't pour blessings down upon you. Test me in this, he says. Test me in this. Which is interesting to me because most of the time we are not encouraged to test God. And whenever I think of testing God, the first story that comes to my mind is the story of Jesus in the wilderness, right at the beginning, right before He began His ministry. He goes out into the wilderness and He is tested by Satan there. And in Matthew we read that one of the temptations was that Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point of the temple, and he said, jump off and prove to everybody that you're the Messiah, because God will send His angels to bear you up, and everybody will know. And Jesus actually quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. He quotes from the law, and He says, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. So don't test God. And yet, we read in Malachi 3:10, test me in this, He says. Now, I don't think there's a contradiction here. And the reason I don't think there's a contradiction is because when Malachi says, test me in this, he's basically saying, give God a try, just like we see in the Psalms. When God is speaking to the people in Deuteronomy, He's basically saying, quit testing my patience. He's saying, don't test my mercy and forgiveness. If you keep this sin up, if you keep up your disobedience, there's going to be consequences. Don't test me. I think probably as a parent you've said that before. You're testing my patience. That's what God was saying there. And Jesus was saying, when he quoted that, he was saying, I'm not going to take any shortcuts. I'm going to do this the right way. And so that's why I don't think there are any contradictions here. The message in both Psalms and Malachi is that God is faithful and he will take care of you if you trust in him. If God commands us to bring a tithe into the storehouse, then we should take him at his word, that he will bless us, that he will answer our faithfulness by not only taking care of us, but by pouring out his blessings upon us. We have to respond in some way. You've heard it before, where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. You can't just say, Lord, I believe. You've got to respond. You may have to change something in your life. I mean, that's what actual faith looks like. It starts with belief, but it ends in concrete ways in terms of the way we live, in terms of the way we behave, in terms of the way we give. Another way to say that is, you have to put your money where your mouth is. That's another way to say it. I'm going to kind of close down today with one of my favorite stories that kind of, I think, is one of the best illustrations, and this illustration has been around a long time, so you may have heard it at some point, at some time, but it's a story about a tightrope walker named the Great Blondin, who was brought to the United States in the late 1800s by none other than P.T. Barnum. He staged this big spectacle at Niagara Falls. He set up a rope all the way across the raging waters below, and thousands of people came to see it, and he walked all the way across and all the way back. And the crowd was cheering. Couldn't believe that he had done this, that he had risked everything to do this. And when he got back, he quieted the crowd down, and he says, now, who here today believes that I can do that again, this time pushing a wheelbarrow? And everybody began to chant, we believe, we believe. And then he said, okay then, who will be my first volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow? And there was dead silence. Faith is getting in the wheelbarrow. It's really as simple as that. Faith is getting in the wheelbarrow. It's trusting God, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. And it is hard. There's nothing that we take more seriously, most of us, than our money or our finances. It is not easy. And yet God is saying, test me in this. Get in the wheelbarrow. Give it a try. And the good news is that you don't have to do this alone. That God will help if you ask him to. Okay? I believe that. That God will help if you ask him to. I believe that God hears and answers prayers. I believe he answers all of our prayers. As Kathy said in her prayer today, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. But I have also kind of discovered over a lot of years that there are certain prayers that God loves to answer. I believe that there are certain prayers God loves to say yes to. And one of those prayers is when we pray to be faithful, when we ask God to help us help him. One of the best examples of this comes right out of the Old Testament, and it's the story of when Solomon first became king, following his father David. And God said to Solomon, you can ask for anything you want, anything. And Solomon said a prayer. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for power. Remember what he asked for? He asked for the wisdom to be a faithful leader. And God loved, and the Bible says, 1 Kings chapter 3, the Bible says that God loved that prayer so much that he not only gave him that, but he gave him everything else too. That's the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. So if you're having trouble getting in the wheelbarrow, Pray that God will give you the faith to take that risk, to step out in faith, and to do something concrete. If you're having trouble even imagining giving a tithe or even moving in that direction, pray that God will give you the faith and the trust to become a cheerful and a generous giver. I guarantee those are the kinds of prayers that God wants to answer if you're willing to ask. And if you're still not sure, take Malachi at his word. Test God and see for yourself. Because I guarantee that God wants, he's just waiting for an opportunity to open up the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings. Let's pray together. Lord, you are our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer, our friend. You walk with us in the midst of life. You provide for us in every possible way. And Lord, we are just grateful that you are there. Help us to respond. Help us to trust you. Help us to get in the wheelbarrow if necessary, so that we might indeed experience the fullness of the faith, experience the fullness of your blessing as well. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.